So am I going to be written in the book of life now? Is my name there or not? I would like to share with you a few steps how we should make some kind of review of our Christian life, regardless what we know. Forget about your years, how many years you are reading your Bible. Forget about your Christian experience. Forget about everything about that. But I would like to invite you to think about your own life for next few minutes. Think and review your life. We never know when our eyes will be closed and we'll have a last breath. We never know. But what we have to know is my name written in the book of life? Or is my name blotted out from the book of life? So there is repentance, or through repentance, I would like to talk and say the message with you today. Why we are going to talk about repentance? It's very interesting. We are sitting in this church for a long time. We are repented. A long time ago, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13. I was baptized at that time. And I believe that my sins were totally blotted away from the book, and I was clean from that time. I repent. But in the meantime, since I was 15 till now, I can't say that my life was so perfect. I committed sin a couple of times. But what is the point? I confess my sin.
It's too late now.
Confession and repentance are very important parts of our Christian life. So let's see fear and anxiety. That's part of your life everywhere, especially in the world. Outside of God's presence, you can see people shaking. They're fearful. They're living under anxiety all the time. They don't know what will happen tomorrow. They're scared.
Dictionary says that anxiety is a future-oriented mood state in which a person is ready or prepared to attempt to cope with upcoming negative events or tasks. Some people are not able to cope with that. Without God, it's very, very hard to cope. As you know, a lot of national disasters were holding last year, and this year starting already. Every year there are disasters. We don't know when and how Hamilton or Warrnambool or any other town or city will be in disaster. But freedom from fear is something that we as a Christian have to put in our mind and think about it. Am I fearful as my neighbor who doesn't believe in God? Am I living under anxiety all the time as the person who never believe in God? So these are questions we should ask ourselves. Also, this is a little bit of a computer kind of stuff. It doesn't happen in reality. They're trying just to make unstable life around us, especially in USA. As you see, this is the symbol of liberty, but liberty statue is stage, not stable anymore. Some people are scared about the environment. Our planet is burning. What we are going to do? Where we are going to go? We should escape. I read about American businessmen who are billionaires, and they already bought the ticket with special rockets to escape to Mars, to live there and establish new life there. So sometimes people are just funny, they started thinking about different way than God get them to think about. Economy crash. That economy stability is not our foundation where we should build our future life. That's not purpose of our life. It's just something we need to keep ourselves alive, to buy the food and pay the bills. But some people make their money God. If that God starts to shaken, they are losing their foundation. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. Why? Because their God is not stable anymore. So should we, as a Christian, put our security into money or assets? Wars are everywhere. So I don't know how many of you get this book. It's a very interesting book talking about end of the age, 2012. What's it called? The tribe Maya doesn't have calendar after 2012. So people are shaking. They are in fear. But not us. Not us as a Christian. Fear is part of people's life. How about you? How about you? Are you living with the Lord every day and counting on His presence in your life, or you are fearful as all other people around you are? We should focus on someone who is stable. Jesus, who lives forever and will live forever. If we put our life in His mighty hands, as the songs told us, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to be fearful or have anxiety in our lives. We should focus on Him. A lot of Christians are not focusing on Jesus as they should. So the present truth for today is confession, repentance, and conversion. Fear is out of picture. If we confess our sins, if we repent, and we are converted totally. So, in testimony, page 214 said, there are many people who preach the truth, but will never receive the seal of God. How serious is that? They are sitting in the church. They have their special place here. They have a church offices, duty in the church. But Spirit of Prophecy said they will never receive seal of God. What that means? They will be not in kingdom of God. Only people who receive the seal of God, who are totally on His side, they will be saved. The people who are sitting on the fence, pretending some Christian life or lifestyle, they will never receive. Why? Because they are comparing themselves many times with others. They seem good. It seems that everything is okay, but they think that they don't need changes. They seem that they are okay. But what the first verse in Psalm 51 verse 10 says. Psalm 51 verse 10. You remember David when he commit a couple of sins and he repent. He confessed his sins. And in verse 10 he said, create in me pure heart, O God, and make my spirit right again. Create in me clean heart. So, only place need to be clean is the place which was already recognized as a dirty place, isn't it? Why to clean house? If you see that the church floor is clean, do you need to go and brush and clean it and vacuum? No. If it's clean, it's clean. But place which is recognized to be it's dirty already, this place needs to be clean. So, if we recognize ourselves as clean already, we don't need cleansing. We are clean already. We only need the wings to fly in the sky as angels. But to be recognized deep down in your heart that your heart is dirty, there is something little inside that nobody can see from outside. You are perfect outside, but deep down inside, only you and God knows what it is. That's what David experienced. And then he said, create in me this kind of pure sense. Show me what is wrong deep down in my heart so that I can be clean, so that I can confess my sin. That's why confession and repentance and conversion are essential. That's the present truth for this world. So, diet reform, health reform, dress reform, any others, education reform, all reforms are good. We have to support them and follow them. Without confession and without repentance and conversion, there is no point to do any other reform. So, what's the point to live healthy life and be lost when Jesus comes? The point is to confess your sins and to be clean. So, are you be alive when Jesus comes or you die? It doesn't make difference. You'll be saved anyway. Are you agree with me? Okay, so I can continue. So, the greatest desire for God is to be completely clean. Clean your every little sin. Every little thought, dirty thought that comes to your mind. Everything you've done in your past. And you probably, sometimes I find myself that I was very little when I commit some sin. And if you go back, if I go back in my past and I start thinking, I can find little bad stuff that I done or said or I even think. So every single sin has to be confessed completely, and then your heart and my heart be clean, completely and pure. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Apostle Luke said that repent and be converted, and then your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What three steps? Repent, be converted, and make sure that your sins are blotted out. It's very interesting when we are talking about blotting out the sins. Does it mean that our sins were written in the book already? Yes or no? Yes. You know that our angel, guardian, is walking with us every day. And he's taking notes, minutes about our lives. And he is writing all good stuff and bad stuff. Every word, every action, every thought are written in the book. So, if we realize that we say something wrong or think something bad or do something wrong, it's time to confess and be converted. be sorry for what you've done. And then this sin is blotted out of the book. So it's completely out. So you are free. You are clean. If you think that you are okay, there is nothing to be blotted out. So there is one example in Old Testament when Moses received Ten Commandments. You remember this story. He was on the mountain and people were waiting and waiting and waiting, that were impatient, and they said, no, this man is not coming back. So let's make our own gods. And they collect the gold and make golden calf. And they start worshipping this calf. They start praising him and so on. So when Moses came down from the mountain, he was shocked. How come you are doing this stuff? How come you can do something that God is totally against? And then he said something very interesting to the Lord in Exodus chapter 32:31. Exodus chapter 32:31. Moses was a brave man to say that. I can tell you. He was so brave. If you put yourself in this position, I'm not sure would I be able to say something like that to the Lord. In verse 31, when Moses said, God was so angry on the people, and God said, you have done it. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, how terrible these people have sinned. They have made for themselves gods from gold. Now, please, Lord, forgive them this sin. If you will not even erase my name from the book in which you have written the names of your people, blot out my name from your book. So, something had to be blotted out from heavenly book. Your sin or your name, one or another. Can you see that God was talking to Moses about that? So Moses put himself to die instead of people who he delivered out of Egypt. So he said, their sins are so big, if you can't forgive them, so please take out my name rather than destroy them. I love them so much. So can you see, one or other things must be blotted out from the book in heaven, your name or your sin. So it's up to us individually. If we are willing to confess, to repent, and never repeat the sin, then sin will be blotted out completely. So, sin or name, one or another. Sometimes we don't understand that properly. When we just feel that somebody hurt us, and we know that the people should to come and confess the sin to us, and ask forgiveness, be sorry for what the person done, and we are waiting and waiting and waiting, and person never come. So, as a human, deep down in our heart, something arises then, something against this person. And you're not looking at this person with the same eyes anymore. Did you experience that? That kind of life. So what we need to do? We need to forgive anyway. Did person come to you and ask forgiveness or not? Deep down in your heart, between you and God, this must be forgiven. Otherwise, it's your sin. If you keep this down in your heart, this is count as your sin. you can't have nothing against your brother or sister or anybody in the world, because you have to spend all eternity with this person. How can you do it? Tell me. How can I do it? To run away? Trying to hide behind the tree of life? Or be somewhere else? No. That's not the case. I have to confess my wrong thoughts, my sins. Even if my brother didn't come to ask forgiveness, it's my duty, my responsibility to clean my heart. Allow God to clean pure heart in me. That's our Christian duty. So, it's very important, a slide. Sin or name, one of the other, must be blotted out, must be cleaned out from the book of in heaven, from the heavenly books. In Matthew 3:1, we have a very important message from John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist was the one who should prepare the way for Jesus Christ. In chapter 3:1, Bible said, in these days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the King of Heaven is at hand, or King of Heaven is near, another translation said. So John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus' first coming, for Messiah. So while we are living in the last days, we are called to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming. It's our duty. It's our duty to preach nothing but confession, conversion, and repentance. People need to hear that message, to confess their sins until it is not too late. So that's the last day message. If we believe what we preach, we should do that more and more with power than we were doing so far. So to be sorry for your sin means confession and repentance. Confession means I understand what I done. That was wrong. And repentance means, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Jesus. I hurt you. I hurt myself. I hurt my brother. I hurt everybody. So why? What's the point to commit sin? Sorrow, in Evangelism, page 363, said, sorrow to repentance to salvation, which constitute true repentance, is the place where we need to be. Sorrow to repentance to salvation. If we are not sorry for what we've done, we will never repent. If I don't understand that I've done something wrong, if God didn't create clear thoughts in my mind and clean heart in me, I have nothing to repent for. So I'm okay. I'm all right. And that's the most dangerous state in Christian life. To think about yourself, that you achieve something. So every day is new day. Every day is temptations around us. Every day Satan is trying to bother us with something. But God, Jesus, is there. And if we repent and we confess every night our sins, what we've done during the day, that can be known or even unknown sins, that can be thoughts, even deep down feelings, that can be anything, what people can't see at all, but you know and God knows. That's repentance. That's something that God, Jesus Christ is looking for. So you remember in the Bible there were two people who sort of means to change the life. And two people, Peter and Judas, shows sorrows and confession, both of them. But two different characters, two different people in two different ways. How we know that? Let's read in 2 Corinthians. There are two types of sorrows. We can be sorrows for something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, 9 and 10. It said, "Now I'm happy not because you were made sad, but because your sorrow make you change your lives. You became sad in the way God wanted you to, so you were not hurt by us in any way. The kind of sorrow God wants makes people change their hearts and lives. This leads to salvation. And you cannot be sorry for that. But another kind of sorrow, the kind of sorrow the world has brings death." So there are two types of sorry, two types of confession. One, what Peter did. What kind of sorrow was that? True sorrow. Through repentance. Why? Peter betrayed Jesus. And he was sorry. With godly sorrow. He cried. He wept. Why? Because he denied Jesus. He spent 3.5 years with this man. Best friends. And he said, "No, I don't know this man. Who are you? I don't know you." And Jesus, look at his eyes. Without saying any word, Jesus looked at him, and then deep down in his heart, he felt sorry. I hurt you. I shouldn't do that like that. And then he went out and wept, and Jesus forgave him. Another person, Judas, he was sorry as well. He was sorry. He said, "I betrayed innocent man. I'm sorry." But this sorry was not because he hurt Jesus. That was different sorry. That was sorry as a fear of consequences. So there are two different types of sorry. And we have to ask ourselves, when we confess our sins, what kind of sorrow is that? Am I really, really aware what I done to my Lord, to my Jesus, to my best friend? I hurt him. I nailed him again on the cross. Every sin put extra nail in his hand, and that's painful. That hurt him. So is that kind of sorrow which leads us to salvation, or sorrow that we are fearful of consequences? Oh, I done what I done. I'll be punished. Those two kind of sorrow leads us to the life or to death. So we have to be very aware of that. So the kind of sorrow what we need to nurture in our life is sorrow that they will look on me whom they pursue. Zechariah said, chapter 12 said, we pursed Jesus with our sins. And that pain actually should encourage my emotion to be sorrow for what I done. I don't want to do it anymore. No, Jesus, I love you so much. How can I do it again? How can I stay away from my brother and sister because you died for him as well. You died for her as well. I don't want to do it anymore because I want all of us to live forever, whole eternity in heaven with Jesus. Have you ever committed sin and you don't feel even sorry for it? Have you ever hurt somebody that you never ever was aware that you hurt the person? You don't even feel bad about it. So Zechariah shall, they shall mourn for him. They shall mourn for Jesus. They shall be sorry for their sins. When we educated our children to say sorry, what we are doing? We say sorry. I grew up in a family of five. And you know that in bigger family, you get more troubles. Parents have more problems with the children. They are pushing each other. They are taking the toys or doing bad stuff, you know, what children sometimes can do. And when my brother, he was very not under control all the time. He was doing some bad stuff to me, and I'll start crying. And then my dad would say, "Please say sorry to your sister." And he will come, "Sorry, I'm sorry," and turn away. What kind of sorry was that? Just not to be punished. That was the sorry. And later on he will do it again, the same thing. So we are sometimes like little children. Believe me or not. Sometimes we are doing things that we are sorry for something. We are not aware even of that if we have to. If elder or pastor of the church are pushing us to do. I remember in one church, two brothers, both leaders of the church, have a business together, and they bought actually one block of land together, and they prepared it for last day. They planted the plants, vegetables, fruits, and all this stuff. And somehow they get across to each other. And they stopped talking. They were just not able to cooperate anymore. And that started to be church problem. You know, how can you have two elders in the church, they're not talking to each other? It doesn't work like that. And then they were invited to church board. One of them came very early. He was among all others of church members board meeting. And second one came when they started already. As soon as second person came on the door, he said, "Hello everyone," and went straight to the person. He didn't talk for a couple of months. And what he done is, "Forgive me, brother." That's it, all done. And we didn't know what to do. Is that right for forgiveness? Is that something that we should talk about as a church members? What to do? It was silent in the room. No word. And then Pastor just said, "Okay, we are glad that you came and asked for forgiveness. How are you, brother?" "I forgive him." "Okay, you forgive him from both sides. It's okay. So can we join you together tomorrow? Meet at your place where you are growing vegetables." And one said, "Oh, I can't do it tomorrow. So what day is suitable for you?" "Oh, I don't know, this week I have an appointment." So he tried to avoid to meet together on the place where. So, you know, these little stories actually from the life telling us that in real life, a real Christian has two sorrows. One is true, one is false. Which one you are going to practice? It's up to you and God. But confession, repentance, and conversion are very dependent of the sorrow you are nurturing in your heart and in your mind. The Great Controversy, page 489, says, the intercession of Christ in man's behalf in the sanctuary above is as essential to the plan of salvation as was his death upon the cross. We must by faith enter within the veil. There is the light from the cross of Calvary reflected. So what that means? Broken law is done when I commit sin. So then I deserve death, and I don't expect that Jesus' blood can cover my sin at all. So love of God is reflected from the Calvary 2,000 years ago and to today's where Jesus is in the most holy place in the sanctuary. And this race from the Calvary reflected to him who is doing judgment in the sanctuary. So earthly sanctuary, as you know, just a reminder, the place where Jesus was 2,000 years ago, holy place, and then he is now in second part in the most holy place. In heavenly sanctuary, Jesus is serving now as our high priest. Can you see a little group of people on the planet Earth down? What are they doing? Praying. They are praying. They are confessing their sins. And Jesus is there to hear this confession, to hear their sorrows, right true sorrows, not false sorrows. And then, as you know, Jesus is coming before his Father and said, Father, my blood was shed on the cross for this man, for this woman, my blood. So we have to be very aware of that cross and sanctuary are very, very connected. Without cross, there will be no chance to be saved and to be our sins to be blotted out of the book. Those two things are very, very connected. Investigation, as time is now, every name comes. Sooner or later, your name will be on. Maybe it was already. But our names have to be passed. Every case must be finished. Jesus will come when every single case is done, not before. When every single person on the planet Earth at least once have a chance to hear about the plan of salvation. And it's very important to know that investigation is taking time now. So, in the Great Controversy, Ellen G. White said, Satan well knows that all whom he had led to neglect prayer and searching of Scripture will be overcome by his attack. Every person who is neglecting daily relationship with the Lord is in danger. Satan's attack is very strong and powerful on us as a human. And without Jesus and his power, we'll hardly overcome the sin. But only with his power. Power is in the blood of Jesus. There is a power that we have to take. It's given to us for free. We don't need to pay for it. It's paid already. But the power of his blood is very, very important. So what leads us into sin? The only defense against evil is indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in his righteousness. unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulge, and temptation to sin. Without a vital connection with God, through the surrender of ourselves to Him moment by moment, we shall be overcome. Very strong statement, but recipe for our daily life, isn't it? The way how we can be overcomers. A friend of us from another church, Protestant church, husband and wife, we are studying with them for a couple of months, and recently he just realized that once saved, forever saved, theory is only theory, it's not biblical based. And we praise God for that, that he realized that truth. And 31st of December was his birthday. And we went to visit him on the 5th, 1st of January. And he said, you know what, this year I decided to be overcomer. I haven't been before. I was Christian for many, many years. But until I realized that you can overcome every sin in your life by the blood of Jesus, by His power, in daily connection with Him. So that's the only way. How can I be overcomer? Not once saved, forever saved anymore. He doesn't mention that anymore. So it's good to share with the people around us that confession, repentance, and conversion is essential in order to be saved. We all want to go through easy way to heaven, aren't we? I would like to do nothing about myself, to believe that Jesus done everything so I don't need to do anything, just to be saved. That's easy, easy way. But to fight with myself, it's not easy way. To ask Jesus daily to be with me, to control my thoughts, my words, my temper sometimes just explode without control. Sometimes this, sometimes that. So that's what we have to do as a Christian. That's our duty. On a daily basis, we are able to do it. How to overcome sin? Connection with the Lord in prayer and studying the word and surrender to Him moment by moment. That's the only way. Thinking about Jesus on the cross, it's the only way how our senses and emotions and feelings inside of us can be moved in order to stop us sinning. Let me tell you some unpleasant story. A father of two children, very good man, Christian man, he practices morning and evening worship with his family all the time. And one day after the morning worship, his little boy, age 3 or 4, loved his father so much. He said, Daddy, may I go with you on work? And he said, no, you can't. You have to stay with your mom today. I'll come back. And then we will play again. He was so sweet and cute boy. And little boy, when his mom was just turned his her side on another side, he ran out of the house and hide himself behind the dad's truck. And when dad didn't realize that the little boy is hiding there, he was just surprised his father, you know, just to jump in front of him somehow. But he was behind the truck. And father just turned on the engine to warm it up. And as usually, he's doing reverse and then go for a walk. And he was doing reverse that time a little bit faster than usual, and he crashed his little boy to death without knowing even. You can imagine on the funeral, a father is carrying the casket all the way to the cemetery. He was crying, my son, what I done, my son. Tell me, out of 10, how many times this father will be careful when he turn reverse his truck? Probably 10 out of 10. He will never ever forget to look back carefully and never again to do anything like that anymore. That's what we need to think about. We hurt our Lord Jesus every time when we commit sin. We are hurting Him over and over again. So we should realize that we should stop sinning, confess, be converted and repent. That's coming just out of love, nothing else. Love to Him can make us a little bit more emotional and sensitive toward Him and not sinning anymore. So there was a man who committed few sins. We know about two, or let's say few, in the Bible. But this man by name David confessed his sins. You remember Psalm 51? This psalm was written after his confession. And I can tell you that this man learned his lesson, and for the rest of his life he never ever commit this sin anymore, because he realized how far he went from Jesus. Sin is actually making big wall between me and Jesus, and only Him can destroy this wall if we confess. If we continue to commit a sin, that means that wall can't be destroyed. Jesus has no power to force you to stop sinning. If you are sinning, that means you choose enemy as a master, not Jesus. David, before the end of his life, God said to Jeroboam, his grandson, he said, "My servant David kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes." When you read this verse, don't you think that it's not quite right? Something is wrong? Didn't David commit adultery and commit homicide? So how can kept all God's commandments then? Something doesn't seem right, isn't it? How can we understand that? We can understand that if we understand through confession and repentance. David confessed truly to the Lord, and he repented completely. Remember when he was very, very old, and somebody suggested him, he was shaking, he was cold, and somebody suggested to him to get a young girl to sit in his lap and warm him up. But the spirit of prophecy said that never ever David get any dirty thoughts regarding women as he was when he was young. So that shows us one example. Bible is not talking about that so far, just one verse. But that shows us that God accepts David completely as a clean. He got clean heart, clean mind, which is hope for us. Whatever we done in the past, if we confess and repent and be converted completely. We will be pronounced like David, right in his eyes. I believe that your confession and your repentance is true confession. I believe that God will give you strength and wisdom to confess every single sin, even the sin you are not aware of, even the sin that you are not ready to confess because you can't see certain person in the eyes, or you have something against this person or that person. But God is loving God. He is able to change your heart, to change your way of thinking. May you experience this confession, coming to Jesus. Confess to Him. You don't need to confess to me or anybody of us, but to Jesus directly. We have access now directly to Him, and He is willing to forgive us. He is waiting and calling. He asks you to surrender what? All. Not only one part of your life. Not only little things, things you are strong in. No. The things you have weaknesses. The things you are fighting with. The things you just don't know how to cope with without Jesus. Surrender totally. And may this race from His power, from the Holy Spirit, just come upon each and every one of us. And just aware us that we have something to confess. Today or tomorrow, we have to be aware our sins must be blotted out, or our name will be blotted out from the book. May God bless you all and give you pure heart, clean heart, to confess your sins and to be repent. Amen.